The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of the disciples of Jesus who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. After the priest or the deacon reads the gospel, he says a little prayer in Latin. The English translation is, "Through the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted out." What a beautiful thought that is. Because he loves us, our God gave us our health, our families, in our homes, this wonderful country to live in, our holy faith to live by. He's given us health of mind and health of body. And if he has sent sickness or suffering into your hearts or in your homes, that too may well be a sign of his love. Remember in the book of Revelation, the book of Judith too, those whom he loves, he chastises. And rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ. That's one of the letters of St. Peter. But his greatest gift of God to us, the one that cost him the most, the one for which he had to pay the dearest price, was the gift of himself in the sacrament of his love, the Holy Eucharist. And this is what this whole passage is about here. In chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel, the promise of the Eucharist. "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. He who eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And the Jews protested, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? We're not cannibals." He didn't back down. He did not back off. He was right back in their faces, repeating what he said and emphasizing it all the more. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, remains in me, and I in him." This is the Lord's greatest gift to us. The trilogy, the three things that really focus in on the love of our God. The crib, that is the incarnation, the cross, and the altar, the Eucharist. This is our God in his gifts, always giving and trying to elicit our love. That's what he wants. He made us to know him, and to get other people to know him, to love him, and to get other people to love him, and to serve him, and to get other people to serve him too. Love is the bottom line with Jesus Christ. He is the enfleshment of love. And that's why I came in this world, to teach us how to love. I never read the Quran, the Bible of the Muslims, but there was once a candidate for the Eternal Word television network up on the hill here who came from Egypt. He was a Christian, and he told me in the Quran, the word kill is mentioned 400 times, and the word love only once. It tells me an awful lot about that particular faith. I know our Saint Francis had a great love for the Eucharist. He said he saw nothing corporally, physically, of the Most High Son of God, but his most holy body and blood, which priests received and which they alone administered to others. And one day, St. John Mary Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, was holding the sacred host, and he said, if I knew I would never get to see you again, I would never let you out of my hand. The Lord wants people to respond to this great gift of ours by coming to Holy Mass at least every Sunday of our lives. And that's an obligation that binds still under pain of grave sin, big sin, serious and mortal sin, to miss Mass on Sunday through your own fault. And God bless all those dear folks who respond even more frequently, like at daily Mass, like the sisters who serve this precious retreat house. This is the big drawing card here, the Holy Eucharist. Without the Holy Eucharist, their life has very little meaning. And I think that's true for us too. Without the Holy Eucharist, there's not too much left in our lives. What would we do without our faith? Without faith, there's nothing. What's there to live for and to die for? And we're convinced that there is an afterlife because it was promised to us by Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Gilbert Keith Chesterton, a great author, I wish you could all become very well acquainted with this man. I think he was the greatest apologist, the greatest defender of the faith in the entire last century. When they asked him why he became Catholic, he gave as his reason, I want to have my sins taken away. He knew that the power of binding and loosing was given to this church, and he wanted to be morally certain that his sins were taken away. But when they asked John Henry Cardinal Newman, now blessed, why he became Catholic, giving up a most influential position at Oxford University, lost mostly all of his friends too when he came to Rome to join the church. Do you know the reason he gave? He said he wanted to receive one Holy Communion. He knew that the Anglican orders, in which denomination he was a priest, that they were invalid because they changed the ritual of ordination, the matter and the form of the sacrament, and they did not have, therefore, a valid Eucharist. That's why he became a Catholic. Gave up a most influential position because he came to the truth in Jesus Christ. You know the two conditions necessary for receiving our Lord in the Eucharist. First of all, that you be in the state of grace with no serious, unrepented, grave sins on your soul. And secondly, that you come with the right intention, with the idea of pleasing God. And Holy Communion is not a reward for being a good Catholic. It's a way and a means to become a much, much better Catholic. It's in Holy Communion that you and I get the strength to avoid grave sin, even when that sin involves some sort of addiction. Oh yes, you may need a 12-step program with the support of other people to get rid of some of these habits that you've been carrying maybe for a while, but the real heart of that 12-step program is step number one, that higher power, and that's the name we give to our God. And you can take him right inside yourself in the Holy Eucharist. What a tremendous gift this is. I used to watch my mother. She had 12 of us, and among them, three sets of twins, Paul and Pauline, Joe and Josephine, Bernard and Bernadette. And after the youngest one got into elementary school, she went to Mass every day the rest of her life. She was a believer. And after Mass, she would get her Mother Love prayer book, and the most beautiful prayers after Holy Communion are there. She would stay for about 10 or 15 minutes after Mass. And that's when we had to fast from midnight. You wouldn't remember those days, but from 12 o'clock on, and this was the 8 o'clock Mass at St. Cecilia's Church in Rochester. Maybe it was Mom's just another way to stay out of the house. I don't know. But she would stay and make a good, solid Thanksgiving after communion. She was a believer completely. Then I think of my second grade teacher, the most enthusiastic nun teacher, without qualification, that I ever had in my life. And we spent 21 years in school. Nobody could touch Sister Alfreda Bressler. I never knew her name, her last name, when we were little kids in the second grade back in 1937. Really filled with God. And she's the one who prepared our class for our first Holy Communion. And there were 54 in our class in those days. 54. Never a single discipline problem. Backed up by the principal and the other teachers and the pastor and the parents too. She was great. I had a chance to make a little return to her when I was over in New Guinea. I'd come back on leave. And she had cancer of the bone. She was at Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh. So I took my little Mass kit with me and went over and had Mass for one time and then a second time too. But then I returned to New Guinea when she died. So I wasn't there for the funeral. But what a great consolation that was for me as a little payback for what she had done to me to prepare myself and our class for our first Holy Communion. And then 37 years later, after I had returned from New Guinea in 1980, that was very interesting too. The whole class was there except for some who had died in the meantime. And out of that class of 54, there was not one divorce. Unbelievable. Most of these fellows were Italians, and they were good Italians too. And the Italian people have a beautiful reverence, not just for food, but for marriage too and family life. And when they toast the family. What a grace that was to be in an atmosphere of that. Love for family, for the church, and for the Holy Eucharist. So for us who really believe, it shouldn't be too hard for us to hear the small, inarticulate cries from his infant lips at his birth, to see the little limbs that tremble with the chill of the cave, and Mary, the Virgin Mother, adoring profoundly the eternity of him who is but a minute old. We see him in the manger, a feeding trough for animals, which foretold the wonders of his altar, where he would become the very food of sinners. That manger, manger in French, to eat, that manger was a foreshadowing of his sacramental residence with men from the ascension till the doom, till doomsday, until he comes again in glory. When he came at first, he was our Redeemer. The second coming, at the moment of our death, he will be our judge. May he give each of us a most merciful judgment because we have responded to this greatest gift of him to ourselves, the gift of himself in the sacrament of his love. Not even Almighty God himself could have given us any more. Not even God. Praise and thank him for this great gift.